chapter 7, text 7. Mataha Padataram Nanyat Kinshi Asti Dhananjaya Mayi Sarvamidam Krotam Sutre Manigana Iva Mata Padataram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya Mayi Sarvamidam Protam Sutre Manigana Iva Matta Parataram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya Mayi Sarvamidam Protam Sutre Manigana Iva Matta Parataram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya Mayi Sarvamidam Protam Sutre Manigana Iva No one else has a book. Even you don't have a book. Matta parataram nanya. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mayi sarvamidam protam. Sutre manigana iva.
Matta parataram nanya.
Matta parataram nanya. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mayi sarvamidam protam.
Sutre manigana
iva.
Matta parataram
nanya. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mayi sarvamidam protam. Sutre manigana iva.
Matta parataram
nanya. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mayi sarvamidam protam. Sutre manigana iva. Matta parataram nanya. Kinchidasti dhananjaya.
Mayi sarvamidam protam.
Sutre manigana iva. Yes, Maruti.
Matta parataram nanyat.
Matta parataram nanyat.
Kinchidasti dhananjaya.
Kinchidasti dhananjaya.
Mayi sarvamidam protam.
Sutre manigana iva. Sutre manigana iva.
Matta parataram
nanyat. Kinchidasti dhananjaya.
Mayi sarvamidam protam.
Sutre manigana iva.
Matta parataram
nanyat. Kinchidasti dhananjaya.
Mayi
sarvamidam protam.
Sutre manigana iva.
Mataha.
Beyond me.
Parataram.
Superior.
Na.
Not.
Anyat kinchit. Anything else.
Asti.
There is.
Dhananjaya.
O conqueror of wealth. Mayi.
In me.
Sarvam.
All that be.
Idam.
Which we see.
Protam.
Is strung.
Sutre,
on a thread,
Maniganaha,
pearls,
Eva,
like.
O conqueror of wealth,
there is no truth superior to me.
Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread.
Purport.
There is a common controversy over whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Absolute Truth is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and this is confirmed in every step. In this verse in particular, it is stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person, that the personality of Godhead is the Supreme Absolute Truth, is also the affirmation of the Brahma Samhita. Ishraha Padma Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. That is, the Supreme Absolute Truth, personality of Godhead, is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Svetashvatara Upanishad, Tato yad uttarataram tad arupam anamayam yaetad viduram ritas te bhavanti atetare dukkam evapayanti. The material world, Brahma, the primeval living entity within the universe, is understood to be the supreme amongst the demigods, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence, who has no material form and is free from all material contaminations. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental, but those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. The impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupam. But this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, as described in the Brahma Samhita quoted above. Other verses in the Svetashvatara Upanishad substantiate this as follows. Vedahametam purusham mahantam adityavarnam tamasa parastat tameva tameva viditvati mrityumeti nanya patanta vidyate yannaya yasmat param na param asti kinchit yasman naniyo na jayosti kinchit triksha iva stabto divitishta jekas tenedam purnam purushena sarvam. I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness. Only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person, because he is the supermost. He is smaller than the smallest, and he is greater than the greatest. He is situated as a silent tree, and he illumines the transcendental sky, and as a tree spreads its roots
he spreads his extensive energies. From these verses, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual.
Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Trayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Davita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Kanamami Hori Priye Vancha Kopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyaeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. If I feel warm, it's probably warm in here. What should we do? Open the front door? Nice weather for one. No, whoa. That's the 12:32 train to Brighton or something. I mean, too loud. Parataram nanyat kinchidasti tananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre maniganaya. Parataram means higher. Matta than me. Na anyat kinchidasti. There's nothing higher than me. This at once refutes the Mayavadi idea. The impersonalists have the idea that there is something higher than Krishna. Krishna is a lower manifestation of the Absolute. There's a supreme Nirakar Brahma, an impersonal, formless, nameless, inconceivable, absolute truth. No form, no qualities, no name, beyond all these things. And then Hey. Then you come down a step and there's Saguna Brahma, there's the absolute truth with form, qualities, and all that, which have been picked up from the material energy to accommodate our material conceptions. So in their hierarchy, there's the living beings, there's Krishna, then there's Brahman. So higher than Krishna is this impersonal Brahma. That's their idea. But according to Bhagavad Gita, their idea is wrong. Matta parataram na anyat kinchidasti. There's nothing higher than me. Brahma, the impersonal Brahma, is not higher. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. In the 14th chapter, the Lord will say, it's 14th, right? Yeah. That Brahmanohi pratishtaham. I'm the basis of the impersonal Brahma. The impersonal Brahma is standing on me. So, elsewhere, aham sarvasya prabhuvo mattas sarvam pravartate. I'm the source of everything. Everything means Brahma, Paramatma, everything is coming from Krishna. Matta sarvam pravartate. So, we have to understand everything nicely from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's, from the Bhagavad Gita, it's clearly understood that Krishna is the Supreme Absolute. In the 11th chapter, it's said that, my dear Lord, no one is greater than you, and no one is equal to you. No one is greater, no one is equal. Nata, what is that? Samavyas, Adikastra Drishyate. There's no one seen who's equal to Krishna or greater than Krishna. No truth is higher than Krishna. Aham Sarvasya Purva. So, Mata Parataram. The demigods are not higher than Krishna. We're not higher than Krishna. Impersonal Brahma is not higher, nothing's higher than Krishna. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham. He's the absolute truth. Kinshid Asti, nothing at all, not the slightest thing. Mayi Sarvamidam Protam Sutre Manigana. The example is given that as pearls are resting on a thread, everything is resting on Krishna. Mayi Sarvamidam. Sarvamidam means all of this, the entire material cosmic manifestation. It's all resting on Krishna. Sutre Manigana. When there's a necklace, the pearls are held together by the thread. If you break the thread, the pearls all go helter-skelter. Everything is, that thread is essential to keeping everything going, keeping everything together. So, in the same way, how is the cosmic manifestation holding together? It's holding together by the will of Krishna, or by the direction of Krishna, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacha. The material scientists say everything is holding together by the laws of nature, but where are the laws coming from? Law means enforcement. If there's no enforcement, there's no law. We've seen that in some countries where there's no law enforcement. The law falls apart. Law is law because it's enforced. Someone makes the laws and someone enforces the laws. The laws of material nature are
Krishna's laws, and Krishna enforces the law also. So everything is resting on Krishna, Manigana. And as in the pearl necklace, the pearls are held together by the thread, but the thread you don't see. You only see the pearls. But an intelligent person could understand that without the thread, these pearls would not hang together. In the same way, an intelligent person will understand that without Krishna, okay, I'm getting close to the edge. See, now I threaten, he's quiet. Hare Krishna. Welcome. An intelligent person will understand that I may not see Krishna, but without Krishna, nothing would hold together. Prabhupada gave the example that the cosmic manifestation is held in the fist of the universal form. Where you hold some sand, because you're holding your palm, the sand is holding together. But if you open your palm, all the sand scatters. So it's Krishna who's holding together the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation. I was talking to some scientifically minded person the other day, saying things tend toward disorder. Things tend toward disorder, and scientists are busy trying to find some way that somehow order is implicit and things therefore are held together in an orderly fashion. But where is that order coming from? Where is that order coming from? The order is finally coming from Krishna. Otherwise disorder reigns. Disorder reigns in the material world. That's the way it goes. But maya dyakshina prakriti. The material nature is running by Krishna's direction. Matta parataram nanyat asti kinchid asti. All right, we'll stop and see what kind of questions there might be today.
Seeing Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj made that statement that don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna is going to see you.
Yes.
And we also have the example of the Goswamis, which said, Hey Radhe, Vajadevi, Hey. They were looking for Krishna, where is Krishna? Is he here? Is he there? Can you just explain how we reconcile both things?
Yeah, don't try to see Krishna, but at least we should try to see Krishna in the material world. Don't try to see Krishna means that if you simply try to see the personality of Godhead in his original form, that's very confidential. Naham veda natapasa nadani nanachajriya. Not by any amount of material qualifications can we see Krishna. But Krishna is directing us. All right, if you want to see me, in the next verses, rasoham apsukantiya, I'm the taste of the water. Drink water and try and understand how I'm present in that water. Prabhasmi shasi suryo. I'm the light of the sun, I'm the light of the moon. So think about that. You look at the sunlight, you look at the moonlight. What is this sunlight, moonlight? What? How are they so dazzling and so beautiful? For the sunlight, how is it so warm? How is the moonlight so cooling? Krishna says it's because of me. So where in the material world, we can see the material energy. We see the sun, we see the moon, we taste water, we experience all these material varieties. Now, if we simply try to say, no, I'm not going to see these material things, I'm going to see Krishna, it may be very difficult to see Krishna. But the same things that we're seeing now, without Krishna consciousness, we can see with Krishna consciousness. When you taste the water, see me. When you see the sun or moon, see me. When it's said, act in such a way that Krishna will see you, doesn't mean that we'll just forget about trying to see Krishna entirely, but we'll try to see in a certain way. And the main thing is that we'll try to be seen. That we're the object, not the subject. Something else?
If you may, Marge, if you could help me basically prepare an argument for someone who might be agnostic and is not even open to the idea of an absolute truth.
You're not even open to the idea of an absolute truth.
I find it very difficult sometimes because to them, it's nothing really is, you know, this world is asat and achit.
Nothing's absolute, huh?
Well, in terms of, because everything is transient around us, it's very difficult for someone who does not even, who accepts that temporary nature of everything and just says, well, then why should we hold on to anything that is?
So there's an absolute. Why should we hold on to anything?
That is apparently absolute, but we can't tangibly.
Death is absolute. You don't accept an absolute truth. But the absolute truth is waiting for you, believe me.
Yeah, but
death is absolute, and it's true. You can deny it and say, I don't believe in death, death is false, but death is true. And death is absolute. Absolute means no exceptions. You can't deny the absolute truth. You may deny Krishna, but you can't deny that there's an absolute truth. The absolute truth is admits of no exceptions. Death is there for everyone. Mrityu. Sarva-harascha. Krishna says, I come as death and I take everything away. So if you don't accept Krishna as Shamsundar, Krishna as personality of Godhead, all right, accept Krishna this way. You have to accept Krishna. You have to accept Krishna. Either this way or that way. Either accept Krishna as Shamsundar, as Nandanandan, or accept Krishna as Mrityu, as death. It's up to you. We're not going to force you. But one way or the other, you have to accept Krishna. You have to accept the absolute truth. Can you argue against that?
That to them it's almost like, well, if there's a continuation, then death is almost inconsequential. This argument was that death is also not.
They have that point of view.
Yes, where it's almost as if
death is nothing. We continue to exist. So then, what is the difficulty if there's something which is always existent? Then why not accept that there's something always existent beyond you? You're already accepting that there's something which is eternal, beyond birth and death. But you think that you're the greatest thing that there is beyond birth and death. Why should you assume that?
Or that they just morph into, apparently, this whole theory about just being spirit for a little while, and then you just morph back into it, and you become, and it's it's a very strange concept to even fathom, but it's interesting because they accept a lot of the basic principles.
And they just do a little left turn there as soon as there's a personality of Godhead.
Yes.
Yeah, that's their stubborn obstinacy. Namam duskritana mudha prabhajante naradhama maya pratagana asura papamashita. Four kinds of miscreants refuse to surrender to Krishna. So they belong to those categories. Maya pratagana asura papamashita. But it's sensible that, all right, you explain the source, even if you think this is all illusion, birth and death, so then you have to explain where this illusion comes from. If you think that we're not really individuals, we just appear to be, well, where does that come from? If you think the laws, the way things work is that we merge into material nature and then we merge into the spiritual, well, why? Yeah, you can't just go, There has to be a reason. There are causes for things. If you're a reasonable person, then you have to accept that things have reasons. There's causes. So what's the cause? This is what they call in science a regularity. It's kind of a way of saying a law. Something that happens again and again and again and again. Well, why does it happen again and again and again and again? You can't just say, well, it just happens. That's no explanation. There must be a reason why it happens. Why are you subjected to birth and death, birth and death? There must be some reason. So then we're presenting a reason. You give your reason. Otherwise, you're unreasonable. This is reasonable. There's a cause, and that cause must be intelligent. When you see that things are working so with such intricacy, that means intelligence is there in the background. So there's intelligence. Intelligence means person. QED. They have what Prabhupada calls Krishna phobia. They want to avoid Krishna. Because if there's no Krishna, then I can do what I like. I'm not accountable.
Is there any point in preaching beyond a certain point?
Is there any point in preaching beyond a certain point? Sounds like a
call point
or something. Is there any point in preaching beyond a certain point? You got me on that one. Well, an American way to put it might be, some folks just aren't going to get it. We'll do our best, maybe one day get a chink in the wall. Something else?
Marge, how do we answer this argument of anthropomorphism that, human beings make an image of God according to how they are. So that
human beings make an image of God according to how they are. Okay, so you explain the source of forms. You think this is all anthropomorphism, God has no form. Okay, then explain where form comes from. We have our explanation. Let's hear your explanation. You say there's no form, God is formless, but where's form coming from? we have forms, that's clear. Where does that come from?
They say it comes from God, but that doesn't mean he has it himself.
He doesn't mean he has it himself, but you're already admitting personality. Personality means qualities. So why no form? If he has qualities, why should he have no form? Otherwise, you think he has qualities because you have qualities. But you have to accept that there's qualities. Otherwise, why is he doing anything? It means there's a person. It means he has desire. Otherwise, he doesn't do anything. No one acts without desire, without intention. So he's a person. He has desire. He has qualities. Why no form? Why this limitation? Why should you impose? God must have no form. Why that limitation? God is unlimited, but then why no form? You say, well, because form is limited, but why does form have to be limited? That's just your experience. I haven't seen your father or your grandfather, but I think that they're both persons. Oh, that's just anthropomorphism. That's just because Sutapa has a form. You think that his parents must have forms too. Damn right. You have a form, your parents had a form, your grandparents had forms. Now when you come to the original, no form. Why? Why this sudden reverse?
Similar point, someone once said to me, when you depict Krishna in pictures and things like that, then you see that pictures that come from maybe Indian artists or something, very much like Krishna as an Indian, whereas when it's painted by Western devotees, then it has a very Western feel to it. And they were just saying that, and also if you look at, like, for example, Judeo-Christian religion, when they depict God, then it looks very much like one of their people. So how do we respond to that? Because it seems like...
It means you can accommodate everyone. And he can appear to everyone, you know. Just like... I had a cousin, she used to mix with black people, and so she used to speak black. You know? So that black people would feel, yes, she's one of us. Even though she was white, but she spoke black, so she was kind of... Bhavagrahi Janardana, Krishna responds to everyone's heart. Krishna is neither African, nor Indian, nor Chinese, nor this, nor that. He's transcendental. But we're seeing as far as we can see. That's all. But formless, that doesn't make sense. Otherwise, that's the absence of the absolute truth. To the Indians, he looks Indian. To the Americans, he looks American. And to you, he looks formless. Yayata mam prapajante tams tathaiva pajamyam. Because you can't conceive of anything beyond formless, so Krishna appears to you formless. It's described when Kamsa, when he was in the wrestling arena of Kamsa, they appeared different ways to different people. To the wrestlers, he appeared just like a thunderbolt. To the dull people, he appeared just like a stone. To the elderly people of Vrindavan, he appeared just like a child. To the gopis, he appeared like Cupid. So Krishna can appear in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Vedas also describe a formless, and you're going to get up all of this form of
God. It's also there.
Religious
Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti. He's there as Brahma, he's there as Paramatma, he's there as Bhagavan. All of these, they're all true. The Brahmanohi Pratishtahanam. Brahman features resting on time.
So if something
for
believing.
Loud.
Mm-hmm. If some people only believe in the formless idea, they only accept the Brahman, but they can't see beyond it.
I can't hear.
So as if like some people have only the idea of the formless God. So that's true, but...
That's true, but it's only partial truth. God is formless, that's all right. But God has transcendental form, that you don't understand. Such a dawn. Anything else? Should we stop here?
Question.
Maharaj, in the third chapter, verse 27, Krishna explains that it's false ego that makes us think we're acting, but actually it's material nature.
Mm.
If that's the case for actions, is that also the case for thoughts? Is people whose thoughts are taking a particular form, is that due to the effects of material nature?
Oh yeah, people, their thoughts are taking, according to the qualities I picked up from material nature, I'm thinking a certain way. So a person's in the mode of ignorance, he's thinking about getting to the bar, a person's mode of passion, he's thinking of going to war or going to meet his girlfriend. Person's in the mode of goodness, he's thinking of going to the library.
Do we ever cease to act? Do we ever cease to act?
No. Nahi kaschik kshanamapi jatu distacha karmaka. Not even for a moment do we cease to act. Prakriti jagranath, because of the impulses born of material nature, we're always acting this way or that way, either with body, with mind, with words. But Krishna says, don't try to stop acting. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalaya jarapi yogina karma kruvati sangam chaktvatma shute. Act, but act for me. Act for purification. Can't stop acting, but act in Krishna consciousness.
Maharaj, can I paraphrase the earlier question?
Mm-hmm.
Should we ever give up preaching to a particular person due to their apparent lack of response?
Yeah, Prabhupada sometimes did. There was one disciple who was arguing for a kind of compromise nonsense, and finally Prabhupada told him, you should do whatever you want. And no, Prabhupada, I want to do what you... No, you should do whatever you want. You should enjoy sense gratification. But you should do... And the devotee tried to say that Prabhupada was being sarcastic. But no, you should enjoy sense gratification. Forget it. You're such a fool, there's no use talking to you. I mean, that was the purport. You're such a fool, there's no use talking to you. You should just enjoy sense gratification.
Maharaj, by that you mean like you're not ready to give it up yet?
You're a fool, you're not going to listen to anything. So go enjoy sense gratification.
Until you've had enough and then you're finished with it.
Not even, you're just a fool. Just forget it. Just enjoy sense gratification. Or, Prabhupada, in another way of giving up. Someone's arguing, all right.
Just have kirtan. That's another way. It means forget it. Arguments are not going to be effective. So have kirtan. That's our best argument. Here, take prasadam. You know, that's like the end of the argument. Take prasadam. You win the argument because you're taking prasadam. You're saying something, we're saying something, but you're taking prasadam, so we win. Something will be there, some benefit. So probably we sometimes give up that way, but no, take prasadam, chant Hare Krishna. You know, because arguments are not going to be effective. Lots of times, just have kirtan. Arguments are going on and on. All right, have kirtan.
Adho Shraddha, but without questioning, you can't really have a very deep rooted faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, could you please expand on what exactly is the difference between Nishtha and faith?
Nishtha is strong faith, Shraddha is initial faith.
So, does that mean we keep questioning until all the way until?
You'll always question. Question is not bad. Tadvidhi pratiprashnena sevya. Pratipatena pratiprashnena sevya. Questions. Good. Sometimes Prabhupada translated Shraddha as interest. Someone has some interest in you. You've come here out of interest. Means you have faith that, well, maybe they're saying something interesting here. Maybe something is there. Maybe something worth hearing. That much faith, not let me go there because they're speaking the absolute truth. All my illusions will be dispelled by the perfect knowledge that they're dispensing there. That faith he may not have. We wouldn't expect that kind of faith. We'd probably even be suspicious of that kind of faith. But initial interest, but what are these people speaking? It sounds interesting. Maybe there's something that will help me. That faith. Then he's inquiring, what is this movement? What is your philosophy? So many questions. Then by association, it becomes gradually, and his misgivings are dispelled. You can say that's another difference, that in Shraddha, he has some faith, but he has so many misgivings or so many unwanted things in the heart. But when it comes to Nishtha, his anarthas have already been finished. Anartha nivritti, extinguished. The unwanted things of the heart are nashta prayeshu apatrishu. Practically finished. So now his faith is stronger. His faith was weak because there were so many unwanted things in the heart. Now the heart is purified, so stronger.
Mm-hmm. So can someone be in the stage of Nishtha but still have anarthas? If someone has really firm faith and no matter what you do, it will not waver, but is full of faults, is that something that's possible?
Something may be there. Some anartha may be there, just like that Bharat Maharaj, he had faith, but some anartha was there and he became sentimentally attached to a deer. Sometimes it so happens that someone is very advanced, but there's some unwanted thing still there. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma is expected that will be very quickly spent.
We give this stage, but it may not be exactly like stairway, you know, steps that you're okay. You came from this step, now you're on that step. But it's a little fluid. We get the idea of this step, that step. But there may be some overlapping.
In the example of
Bhart Maharaj. Well, if it was Krishna's arrangement, it was Krishna's arrangement that there be some anartha displayed.
But we learned so much from his...
So then, therefore, it may have been Krishna's arrangement. But the arrangement was that some anartha would be there. Sometimes some anartha is seen.
Was that a good anartha?
Yeah. Well, every anartha, I mean, even Kamsa's anarthas were very instructive, so you could say, as anything in relationship with Krishna is finally good. So even Kamsa's anarthas were good, because on account of those anarthas, Krishna appeared. But it doesn't mean that we should cultivate anarthas. Shall we stop here? Yes. All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.